This is the Craft of Coaching podcast, where you'll learn about how to become a life coach with a strong skill set through understanding the craft of coaching. I'm Kate Swoboda, also known as Kate Courageous. As the director of a life coach training program called the Courageous Living Coach Certification Program, I'm passionate about the craft of coaching and how we evolve the skills and the industry. Learn more about our program at teamclcc.com. And here's today's episode. Hey, hey, everybody. Before we get into today's episode, which is all about how to develop that confidence as a coach, how do you help other people when you yourself have problems? Before we get into that, I have a quick help request, and it is, if you have loved the Craft of Coaching podcast, then I would so love it if you'd leave a review wherever you get your podcasts from. This really helps with the visibility of the podcast being discovered by other people. That's why probably just about every podcast that you ever listen to is asking if you'll take a quick moment to do that. Even if you just, like, you know, hit the little rating button, 5 stars, love it. That is helpful. If you want to go into more detail, you can. And now let's get into confidence as a coach. This question of how do you feel confident as a coach? How do you help other people even when you yourself have problems? Well, here we go. I will kind of pseudo coach you around this by asking one of those coachy questions that is a personal inquiry. Why would you having a perfect life be a prerequisite for you to be a good coach? And I'll ask that question again, so a slightly different way, I guess. Why do you think that you need to have a perfect life in order to be qualified to coach people? Like, what doctor has perfect health? What accountant has perfect finances? Don't school teachers exist who have kids who flunk their courses or don't like school or don't want to read or? Why would you think that you need to be perfect before you can have a skill set that would help other people? And the reason I called it one of those coachy self-inquiry questions is probably becoming a little bit more obvious now because, or at least I'm hoping it is, where is this thing where you think you have to be perfect, period, coming from? Where is this thing where you think you have to have your life totally together coming from? Now, I will differentiate a little bit between this kind of binary that I think arises, like as if there are these people over on one side of a line who have their lives together, and these people over on the other side of the line who are just a mess. It's not really that way. Everybody's out of integrity somewhere, and no one has a perfect life. No, not even me. Of course not. My husband and I get into arguments. I have moments with my daughter where I'm just completely frustrated and I don't handle it the way that I wish that I would. I have doubts. I get freaked out about money. Sometimes I'm thoughtless with friends. But there's a difference between those sorts of things and, like, chaos, okay? Like, I'm aligned with the idea that if somebody takes a look at their life and they kind of go, let me see here. 5 different creditors are calling my house demanding payment, and yet I sign up yet again for another line of credit for someone. I don't know where I'm going to be living next month because I don't have any money, but I'm taking on more debt. I have burned through a bunch of relationships really fast, and pretty much everyone that I ever break up with can't stand me because we have a really negative breakup. My career going nowhere, and part of the reason it's going nowhere is because I get bored with the work and I just stop showing up on time, and then my bosses get kind of irritated with me and don't want to promote me, and I just kind of half-ass it and, you know, don't really, you know. It's like when all those sorts of things are coming together, and we've probably met people who are having like all those sorts of things showing up. The issue there is not, they shouldn't be coaching necessarily because they don't have all their ducks in a row, in my opinion, which is of course what this podcast is. It's a bunch of my opinions. Take what you like, leave the rest. In my opinion, the issue that's there is that it's really difficult to help clients have integrity in their lives if the signs that you don't have integrity in your own life are everywhere. And I'm talking about extreme cases of lacking integrity. Everybody's out of integrity somewhere. When I get frustrated with my husband and I roll my eyes at him, okay, like that's a lack of integrity. It's not respectful. It's condescending. It's not the way I want to treat the man that I love. It's not the way that I feel good about me. I don't want to treat another human being that way. And there's a difference between that and getting into an argument with him, slashing his tires, you know, like this really extreme kind of a thing. Lots of people argue. I don't think there's any marriage where people don't ever have disagreements or arguments. But the question is all about intensity. And that intensity and the degree to which someone is misaligned is what is the deciding factor. For the average everyday person, the very fact that a coach, or let me back up a little bit. For the average everyday person, in my experience, the very fact that someone would be going, gosh, I feel kind of guilty about coaching people because I don't have all of my shit together, is probably the sign that you have a healthy degree of self-inquiry and a healthy degree of looking at your life and going, where am I out of alignment? That the people who lack that don't have. Okay? So the people who should not be coaching are the people who lack that healthy degree of ability to go, whoa, my life might be out of control in this area. Or, whoa, I really want to do things differently in this area. So I have heard, you know, it was one particular person who said, I would really love to hear a podcast episode on this. And I was like, great, I'll do it. But she was not just one person that I've heard this from. I have heard this from so many coaches. And it is, how do I help others even though I myself have problems? And again, I'm going to come to that question. Okay, you yourself, you have problems. Well, why are you turning it into, I've got to have a perfect life that is devoid of problems as a prerequisite to being able to help others? What trouble we would be in if every aid worker who ever went to help people who are living in a war-torn country had to be perfect before they could help. What deep, deep trouble we would be in if every single doctor on the planet had to have, you know, perfect health before they ever treated a patient. I mean, it just, life just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So coaching is not about, I'm a coach because I have my shit together and so you can too. Coaching is about, I have a skill set for holding space. At least this is the way I teach coaching. Coaching is about, I have a skill set for holding space that I work on. And this skill set for holding space is one that encompasses an ability to look at your problems, your life's challenges from the big picture and the little picture to help you to see the difference between temporary stumbles or lack of making forward progress, to help you put things into proper context, to help you find your voice and tell your story, to ask questions that get you to think deeply, to ask questions that get you to consider possibilities that you might never have considered. Now, I'm very aware that sometimes branding can be the trip up for different coaches, for different people. There are a lot of coaches who brand themselves in such a way where they tell I guess I'll call it a rags to riches story. So the story is, I used to be this person whose life was a complete mess in all these different ways. Then I discovered the 6-part system of the 5 rules for 4 ways that you can live a better life in 3 easy steps with only 2 payments of da 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 da. Okay? And now my life is perfect, and here are all the ways that it's perfect. Not every coach markets themselves that way. I endeavor, certainly, not to market myself that way, and I'm pretty transparent. Any podcast interview you ever listen to where I'm the person being interviewed, I'm sitting there going, yeah, my life's not perfect. I'm not promoting you'll be fearless. I'm promoting the idea that fear doesn't need to control our lives. Does fear control my life sometimes? Sure it does. Of course. I'm a human being, and every time I stretch into a new space, I'm going to feel fear again. But I have a recognition of what that fear process looks like, what my habits around fear are, and I've worked really hard to create habits that are courageous so that it feels like a default response to fear to go, okay, I don't want to go into the fear habit. I'm going to go into the courage habit instead. And as many of you know, I've written a book to that effect. It's called The Courage Habit. It's available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble and all kinds of great places. So what is this thing that's going on that we think, that anyone thinks, that they need to have all their crap together or be perfect or not have problems as a prerequisite for helping people? That is the biggest capital S story or internalized narrative that I would encourage someone to really, really question. And I'm going to add on to that a little bit and go into how can you build confidence? Because again, in service to not being binary, I am not saying, oh, just forget confidence. You don't need it at all. It's no point to it. You don't. Like, no, I'm not drawing a line in the sand and saying you're either confident or you're not. You either care about being confident or you don't. Confidence feels great when you can get it. And why not look for spaces or create spaces in your life where you get to really show up and shine in confidence? No problem with that as far as I'm concerned. So here are a couple things I think about how to become more confident as a coach. Number one, you become more confident when you release yourself and do the work to release yourself from the idea that you're supposed to be perfect. Trying to be perfect, trying to be the person who has all their shit together constantly is the recipe for feeling less confident, because it is a goalpost that is way down the field that is always moving. You get there and then suddenly that voice goes, oh, hey, but you still don't have this together. And then you the goalpost moves and then you're chasing it. And it's just like, it doesn't work. It just does not work. It does not work. And it ends up making us feel more anxious and more neurotic and more stressed out and more overwhelmed to chase it. That's the paradox. The more that we chase the idea of bettering ourselves so that we can hold space for others, the more likely we are to not really be bettering ourselves. Okay? So that's one thing to do some work on. Another thing would be to practice and to practice and to practice. One of the things that we say when we do our inaugural CLCC retreat, we always do an in-person retreat to kick off the Courageous Living Coach certification every year. We say to the group, all the facilitators, myself and the other lead coaches who teach the program with me, we say, it's all an experiment. Because it is. So when you are in coach training, are you giving yourself the room as you swap sessions with other coaches who are in training to be perfectly imperfect? Are you giving yourself the room to go, I'm going to try something today with this client and it might not quite work, but I believe that I will be able to turn it around if it doesn't work. I have enough trust in myself and trust in my client and enough co-creative energy that if I try and exercise with the client and I can just feel that the juice has just gone out of the session and it's not there, we can course correct together. This is a relationship. I am not a guru. I am not supposed to be the guru who does the perfect exercise that leads to the perfect aha breakthrough. This is a relationship. And no relationship is perfect. And if it's going to be a co-created relationship, we both have to be showing up and going, that didn't quite land. All right, together we brainstorm, where else can we go in this session? And I think another thing that I'll say, maybe the last thing, we'll see here in a moment, but another thing that I'll say is that trust in your ability to make mistakes and to course correct is another way that you build confidence. I'll just use doing this podcast, for instance, as an example. I think the first time that I ever recorded a Craft of Coaching episode, I had my outline of what I wanted to say, and I wanted to stay very focused, and this is what I wanted to talk about. And if I was like following the outline and then I stumbled over my words, I would feel this kind of critical, like, ugh, and I'd stop the recording and I'd go back and I'd re-record. And it's like, with enough times of doing this, it just got to a point where I was like, okay, I trust, especially also putting it out there, hearing great feedback from initial listeners. Now it's been a couple years since I started the podcast, and not a couple years, it's been a little over a year since I started the podcast. And, you know, I've had trainees who have come to the CLCC as a result of hearing the podcast, and they're going, you know, when you were talking about these things, I felt like I got to know you a little bit better. I got to know a little bit about what your program is about. I got a better idea of what it would be like for me to be a coach. So when I hear those things, it's like, oh, okay, it all worked out okay. Like, I had this really tight approach to the podcast at the beginning. Everything had to be super focused. Everything had to be outlined. And then I got some of that feedback and I saw that it was okay to mess up. I think there were a couple episodes that I uploaded, and then I realized that I had like randomly recorded half of an episode over part of another one and not deleted the old part. I did some kind of technical thing. And it's like, I just fixed it. I just uploaded the new episode. And by the way, any of you who have emailed me to be like, hey, Kate, I think you might have accidentally included this piece on this podcast. Bless you. I love you. Thank you. I'm not supposed to be doing it perfect. I need my community. I need my people. I need you. We're all in it together. It's not supposed to be any other way. And here I am, and people have emailed me and said, hey, Kate, you made this technical fail. And like, I'm okay, right? I once was at a little mastermindy type retreat with a bunch of people, and I hope I'm quoting her correctly, but Carrie Smith was there, the artist. Carrie is brilliant, K-E-R-I, Carrie Smith. And she told us a story about someone she knew who had said, is there blood? No? Then everything's okay. And I always kind of thought that was an interesting way of putting things into context. Like, is there blood? No? Then everything's okay. So here's the thing. In the context of your career as a coach, you are going to have sessions that bomb. You just are. I've had them. Everybody I know has ever had them. It's just going to happen. And anytime I felt like a session bombed, I just tried to be really transparent about that with the client. Maybe I'd say at the end of the session, can you go for another 20 minutes? Because I feel like the stuff we've been trying on this session, it just hasn't quite landed. And if you have the time, I'd love to just hang out on the phone for another 20 or 30 minutes and see if we can get somewhere else with it. Like, what in the world is wrong with doing that? That's very human. And anytime that a coach I've been working with has said, I feel like we haven't quite landed yet, let's go for a little longer, if anything, it's increased my trust in them. It's had me feel like, oh, they really have a genuine, positive self-regard for who I am. And they really want to see me get somewhere. I appreciate that. And there have been other times where a session's been on my mind after I got off the phone with a client and I'm just in my head about it. And I go, you know what? I'm going to email them and I'm going to check in on them and just go, how are they doing? And if they say, I've been having this, this, and this going on, then it's like I give them, additional time, resources. it's not like you get one chance to quote unquote fix someone and that's it. You're not supposed to be fixing anyone. You're not supposed to have anyone's answers for them. So when a session doesn't go in any way that you feel it should have gone as a coach, this doesn't mean that you suck. It means sometimes bad sessions happen. It could mean that the client was just not in a space to really receive your coaching. I mean, I'm not putting it on the client. I'm not blaming the client. I'm just saying, you know, clients are going to have off days too, and they might show up for a session and they're not really in the game. And so every intervention you try as a coach just doesn't really land. And you know what's really funny? How many times I've been in my head thinking, oh, that session, we didn't really, I don't feel like we quite did enough. Maybe I check in with the client 2 days later and the client will say, you wouldn't believe what happened after that session. Da 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 da. And then they tell me a story. And it turns out that whatever happened on the session that I in my head thought wasn't landing for them, it turned out it was the place they needed to be, because something else happened for them a day or two later that was exactly right. So again, when you have enough of those experiences, because you practice and you coach and you do your own work, you start realizing that the confidence is something of a booby prize, right? Like a booby trap. There's a booby prize. Feeling confident is something of a booby prize because it can feel good for a little while, but if you depend on it, it becomes this thing you chase. And that just ends up constricting what you really can do in your own life, and it ends up constricting what you can really help your clients to do in their lives as well. There's a kind of tyranny that can exist, a kind of perpetual trying to live up to something that doesn't feel good and that's exhausting, that starts to happen when confidence is the goal. Remember that image, if you're running down the field with the ball, and I know I'm not a sports person. I call it all, like Lara, one of our facilitators, she says, it's a sports ball. It's just sports ball. Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't know anything about sports really. But, you know, I do know this image, and it is, if you've got the ball, and you're running down the field because the little goal thingy is down at the end of the field, the goal thingy. If you get to the goal, confidence, if that's your goal, it's just going to move. And then you're going to have another field to run down, and you're going to get there, and then that's going to move, and then that's going to move, and then that's going to move. My coach, Matthew Marzell, used to say to me, there's no there there. And that sounds really weird, but what he meant is there's no there in existence. There's no like arrival point there. There's no there there. As soon as you get there, there will move. Unless, of course, you are willing to be in the magic and the mystery and frankly the honor and the privilege and the joyful, soul fulfilling, just beauty that is this work with another client. I mean, I apologize if you're rolling your eyes right now and you're going, God, you sound like a really like, you know, like fanatic. And yeah, I'm kind of letting that freak flag fly a little bit more in my life. Like I am fanatically passionate about this work because it gives as much to me as it ever gives to a client. It is so incredible to be a coach and to hold space for other people in this way. It lights up my life, and I've seen it light up so many other people's lives as well. And when you hit on the thing that lights up your life, then here's what I say. You fight like hell to really understand the mirage, the illusions that would keep you from what your heart is longing for. You won't settle for anything less than absolutely everything. You look at your life and you go, I love this work and I love it so much. It lights me up so much that as soon as I realize that some kind of a hook, like, well, you know, you still have problems. I don't know how you really think you're qualified to help someone else when you still have problems. You don't let that stop you. By all means, let's be ethical. there have been times in my life where I've actually taken a couple of months of break from coaching because I was just really in it with a couple of problems that I was trying to work through. And I just felt like right now is not the time for me to hold space for another person. I'm just not in that space right now. I need to hold the space for myself to get to the bridge or to the other side of this bridge. And that's fine too. Again, you're not perfect. And all of your coaching relationships will be co-created. And there isn't anyone in any profession anywhere in the world who is perfect either. And we would be in trouble if perfection were the prerequisite. We would be in trouble if always feeling confident were the prerequisite for showing up and doing your job. So hopefully a big deep exhale is able to take up some residence in your body right now. You don't have to be perfect. You're doing great. The fact that you even have a moment where you kind of go, I worry that my stuff, probably the healthiest indicator that you should be holding space for other people because you have a healthy degree of self-inquiry. Maybe don't be so hard on yourself. Could be a little coaching that I could offer to you. And I send you such incredible love and care. And, you know, just we're all in this together. I know that even though I'm saying all of this on this podcast, I'm going to have my moments of doubt, my moments of lacking confidence, and my moments where I'm going to want to cling to confidence and want confidence and all of that. And that's just being a human being. And that's as good as it gets. And it's actually, when you settle into that, pretty effing amazing. Thanks so much for listening today. You want to learn more about the Courageous Living Coach Certification, head over to teamclcc.com. Team is T-E-A-M, teamclcc.com. And of course, you can also learn more just in general about what I do with people with courage over at yourcourageouslife.com. I also have a 3-month program where I teach people how to run amazing group coaching courses. It's over at facilitatewithimpact.com. And I'm Kate Courageous just about everywhere, all kinds of places you can find me. Google around. The Courage Habit is on Amazon. I just have a bunch of stuff coming out of my ears, don't I? Well, it's a really good life. I'm having fun with it. Thanks so much for listening.